You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Huda Nation? Welcome to Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson here, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans by Saints fans. And you know what it is. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, please be sure to rate, review, subscribe, share all that. It's a big help to me, but it also helps you stay up to date when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. And remember, you can find Locked On Saints on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and the new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as just about anywhere else that you get your podcast. And when you're out on the road, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints. A very important announcement to start off today's show: there will be absolutely no April Fool's jokes on this April 1st edition of Locked On Saints. That ain't why I'm here. That ain't, more importantly, why you're here. So just no April Fool's jokes on this episode of Locked On Saints. I'm not about that. I'm here to give you information and give you what you need to know about the Saints this offseason. Beyond that, I want to say also thank you for your patience with the delayed episode today. Had to bring the dog in for a big vet appointment, gearing up for a surgery for her. So thank y'all very much for your patience with all of that. Now, on today's episode, we're answering two big questions. If Gerald McCoy becomes available from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, should the Saints still pursue him? And do the Saints really have the worst cornerback tandem in the NFC South? It's two different questions. They also have two different answers, or at least two different yes or no answers. I'll tell you what they are and why in the first two segments, and then we'll talk about asking for opinions when you don't really want to know the truth. A lesson brought to you by Le'Veon Bell as we talk about the stories from around the league. We got all that coming up for you today, and a little bit of Lanyap right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, thank you again for your patience as we come into our newest week of the Locked On Saints podcast. Again, I want to say a big thank you to all of those of you who are just joining, those of you who have been here throughout. Our listens have been great. Everybody, you know, I loved seeing all the love, everybody tuning in, the interactions on Twitter. But real quick, I want to remind everybody that you can also call into the Locked On Saints listener line and record a message to ask a question, and you can hear your message here on the podcast. So that number for that is 504-229-4265. Call, leave a message with the question. You'll hear it here on the podcast. Really want to get that rolling for the offseason. So consider it. Think about it. You got any questions, call in, leave a message, and it will take it from there. And of course, listen to the episode so you hear yourself on the podcast here. So, all right. So we want to talk about Gerald McCoy, or I want to talk about Gerald McCoy. So we know that teams that have new coaches were able to start their offseason workouts, or at least their voluntary offseason programming began today on this Monday, April 1st. Again, no April Fool's jokes during this episode of Locked On Saints. Thank you. But one of the things that did not happen, and that was not at all an April Fool's joke, was Gerald McCoy did not report to the Buccaneers' voluntary offseason program. Now, this happened to a couple of different, or with a couple of different players: Duke Johnson from the Cleveland Browns, Emmanuel Ogbar from the Cleveland Browns, who was later traded to the Kansas City Chiefs for safety Eric Martin, I think it was. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, traded for a safety, a player-for-player trade. Don't see those often. And then Gerald McCoy. Now, Gerald McCoy is somebody that if he were to be moved from the roster, whether it be cut or traded from the Buccaneers, he would save the Bucs $13 million. So that's a good amount of money for them going into this offseason, or, you know, coming through this offseason. Or if they want to roll that over to next year, they'll also have that space. So, you know, some options there and some good reasonability that they would be interested in moving him, especially if he's come to the point where he's not reporting for these voluntary workouts. Now, this is voluntary, so it's not actually an identifier that, you know, he's not going to want to be a part of it, but, or a part of the team, but usually it's a pretty okay signifier, I'll say. So it at least sends out a signal to people. So now the question becomes, you know, Gerald McCoy was one of those guys that was on the top of my list for Saints targets in the offseason. If he were to indeed become available, should the Saints go after him? Now, do I think that the Saints should go after him trade-wise? Sure, they could try. They could try to trade for him, but then they'd have to take on that full contract unless he'd be willing to renegotiate a contract when he came through to New Orleans. However, how likely is it that the Bucs are going to trade somebody like Gerald McCoy to a division rival? That's not happening. Let's just be real. That's not happening. Bruce Arians is a new coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he's not a new coach, so he won't really make that type of thing. Now, this is where Antonio Brown comes into play in all of this. Now, Antonio Brown's trade to the Raiders was a big-time win for players across the NFL, especially because of the fact that he ended up with the team that he wanted to be with, and he was able to help himself by saying no to the team that he didn't want to be with. Remember, he was originally going to be traded to the Bills, and then some other stuff happened, and basically he told the Bills, "I'm not re-signing with you if you trade for me." So then basically he voided the trade and then ended up getting traded to the Raiders where he wanted to go. Now, how does that relate to this? Well, if the Bucs were sort of intent upon trading Gerald McCoy and not releasing him and letting him go to free agency where the Saints would very likely go after him, he could effectively do the same thing because no one's going to take Gerald McCoy on that contract more than likely this late in the offseason. Most teams have spent their money, right? Maybe like the Colts, who barely have spent any money, might be interested, but they also just re-signed Jonathan Hankins. So it's tough because either the teams no longer have the space in terms of cap room, or they no longer have the spot on their roster. So it might make it a little tough to trade somebody like Gerald McCoy, but we'll see. Now, if that were to happen, the Bucs might grant his release, especially if he gets to a point where he demands it after knowing that they've tried to shop him, in which case the Saints could pounce. They still have just over $10 million in salary cap space available, according to the NFL Players Association, which is great news after all the signings that they've done. They could get Gerald McCoy on, you know, one of those deals that is, you know, a little light on the front, but then backs up on the backside, and then they would end up having, you know, Sheldon Rankins, they'd have David Onyemata, they'd have Gerald McCoy, they'd have Malcolm Brown, who they just signed, and then they have the versatility of Mario Edwards who can play all over the defensive line. So do I think that the Saints should pursue Gerald McCoy if he were to become available? Absolutely yes. There is room for him. It would be ignorant to pretend like there's not room for him. And especially if he, you know, refuses a trade, or if he refuses to re-sign with another team, take a restructured deal with another team via a trade, that might help void that trade, and then it won't happen. It won't come through. And then he ends up becoming available in the free agent market. So it's a very big possibility that this could happen and that Gerald McCoy does end up a free agent. And if so, 100%, I think that the Saints should pursue, because he will have a fit in this defense and along this defensive line, which, as we already know, is going to be missing two of its key contributors, more than likely two of its key contributors at the beginning of the season. It will also help to create a little bit of a rotation for Marcus Davenport, as well as the Saints continue to look for edge rotation with him, which it looks like they might have to end up going to the draft to find that, but still some good options there. All right, stick around. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you why the Saints do not, absolutely don't, absolutely 100% do not have the worst cornerback tandem in the NFC South, unlike some national folks, or one national person was claiming just last week. I'll tell you why coming up right here next on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Hooded Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Remember, if you want to stay ahead with what's going on with the Saints, you want to be subscribed to Locked On Saints podcast, you can do so by downloading the Himalaya podcast app. It's spelled just like the mountain range, Himalaya. You can go ahead and download that from your app store and then subscribe to the Locked On Saints podcast. All right, so the next point that I wanted to talk about today, the next big question I wanted to answer is, do the Saints actually have the worst cornerback tandem in the NFC South? There was a, you know, radio personality by the name of Colin Cowherd last week when, after the ruling came down to go ahead and expand instant replay to incorporate pass interference and, you know, all of the penalties and things like that, one of the things that he mentioned was that wouldn't this work really awfully against the Saints because they have the worst corners in the NFC South, and also cited that they wouldn't be able to stand against the amazing wide receivers in the NFC South if it wasn't for their holding and grabbing and things like that. So I heard this claim and I thought, well, that's a little drastic. The Saints don't have the worst cornerback tandem in the NFC South, do they? And then I went ahead and I looked at it, and the fact of the matter is that they absolutely 100% unequivocally, nothing to argue about here, do not have the worst corners in the NFC South. That honor belongs to a different team, but let's talk about what the Saints have here. So I went ahead and I broke these down by the top two corners. I totaled and averaged their catch percentage allowed, yardage allowed, touchdowns allowed, interceptions, passer rating allowed, yards per snap allowed, and snaps per target allowed. And in almost every case, the Saints were better than at least two of their division rivals, with the exception of yards allowed per snap, which came to be 2.98 in total, which was the fourth most, which was the least, or the worst rather, the most allowed by any cornerback tandem in the NFC South. However, they had the best catch percentage allowed in that they had the lowest, 62.2%. The worst, quote unquote, went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 65.7%. Then they had the second best, the Saints did, yards allowed, so second fewest yardage allowed. That best honor went to Tampa Bay as well, with 900 yards allowed. The Saints allowed only 973 in between Marshawn Lattimore and Eli Apple. I should say that I'm looking at everybody's top two corners, so most snap counts, things like that. So I'm looking at everybody's top two corners from the four division rivals here. So out of those, the Saints allowed 973 yards. Tampa Bay allowed 900 yards. The Carolina Panthers allowed 1,121 yards. That's their tandem of Dante Jackson and James Bradbury. And in between, Robert Alford and Desmond Trufant, who played the most snaps for the two top corners, essentially, for the Atlanta Falcons, played the most snaps there, allowed 1,453 yards. There's a trend there that I'll talk about here in just a moment. In terms of touchdowns allowed, the Saints tandem of Eli Apple and Lattimore allowed the least amount. That's 5, followed up by Tampa Bay 7, followed up by Carolina's 9, which is topped off again by Atlanta's 11. And then when it came to turnovers, I just did interceptions. The tandem of Lattimore and Apple had 4, which was the second most, behind only Dante Jackson and James Bradbury, who had 5 in total, only one of those actually going to James Bradbury. And then when we go to passer rating, the Saints had the lowest passer rating allowed when they're top two, with a 92.05. And then, like I said, yards per snap, they allowed the most in terms of total, 2.98 yards per snap between the two. That's an average of 1.49, which was the largest amount there. So they were last in that one single category, but then turned around and became first in having the fewest snaps per target. So they were targeted more than the other teams, which is one of the reasons why they allowed as many yards per snap, if that makes sense, because they had the most sort of chances against them. So they had 19.9 snaps per target. So with that being the case, the Saints essentially stand out as the number one, or at least the top corner class in the 2019 year amongst the tandems of starting corners in the NFC South. The worst would end up being, as you can imagine, Atlanta, who had a third place finish, another third place finish, a fourth place finish, and then a third place finish again. So they were the worst in terms of what they were able to do, Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford. Now, let's be fair here. I only did the top two corners here. I didn't factor in PJ Williams in this, who also on his own allowed 7 touchdowns on the season, but also had an interception, and but had fewer snaps per target as well. So, you know, I didn't factor him in, but I didn't factor in the third corner across the entire NFC South, because, like, for instance, Ryan Smith, who plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was the third corner, but only had 282 snaps because they play mostly Tampa too. They don't play a lot of nickel. And a lot of the people that, I mean, when it comes to what Colin Cowherd was saying, he was talking about the top corners, and that would be Marshawn Lattimore and Eli Apple anyway. And even with PJ Williams in there, they're still not the worst cornerback group in the division. That still pretty much goes to Atlanta, even when you factor in Brian Poole. But Brian Poole does bring 3 interceptions with him, but also allowed 4 touchdowns on his own as well. And then you bring in Ryan Smith, who also allowed 4 touchdowns on the very few snaps that he saw. I said he had 282 snaps. He had a little bit more than that, I think. It was more than 250 snaps. It was like 260 something or something like that. But so worth mentioning that. But all in all, the Saints absolutely unequivocally do not have the worst cornerback tandem in the NFL. I'm sorry, in the NFC South. That's just a ridiculous claim altogether. And I have the numbers to back it up. I didn't even look at the Pro Football Focus numbers. Let me run over and look at the Pro Football Focus ratings as well and see what those have to say. Not that I put more stock in that over the, you know, the stats and the actual numbers, but let's take a look at it and see what that has to say as well. Nope. Even then, even when you look at just the Pro Football Focus grades, the Saints actually have the best cornerback tandem in the NFC South, with Eli Apple and Marshawn Lattimore getting an average of a 67.35 Pro Football Focus rating, while the others, the highest after that would be 65.7, which comes from the Carolina Panthers. So even in that scenario, the Saints still have the best cornerback tandem in the NFC South, and not at all do they have the worst. So just one of those things, you know, always sort of take a moment, check the facts before you make bold statements and everything, just to make sure you cover your backside and everything so you don't go out there and make a fool of yourself. That's all I'm saying. So, all right, so that's enough of that. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some stories from around the league, including how to take criticism brought to you, or how to not take criticism, rather, brought to you by Le'Veon Bell. Got that coming for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. A little bit of fun to start off our segment where we're talking about some news from around the league before we get to some off-season dates that I want to share with everybody for the Saints. But I want to talk about this Le'Veon Bell, Keenan Allen little back and forth that they had going on. Le'Veon Bell went ahead and posted a 40-something second clip of, I guess, his new song or something like that. It was from a music video of his new song, and it's very auto-tuned, and it's literally, well, I'll come back to the content of it here in a second, but he posted it with the caption, "Are you ready? Fire or trash?" using the emojis. And Keenan Allen came through and quote tweeted and said, "I gotta keep it banned, bro. This ain't it." And then did the trash can emoji. And then Le'Veon Bell came back and he said, "If you honestly felt that way, you could have just texted me and said that, LOL. But it seems even people with check marks want to troll and seek attention for mentions nowadays. Enjoy the buzz, but it's all positive vibes anyway." So Keenan Allen then responded to that and said, "Look, I was not trolling on my mama. I don't troll. Like I said, I speak facts. You shouldn't have asked if you ain't want the truth. All love over here, bro." And that's the thing right there. You shouldn't have asked if you ain't want the truth. That is 100% that's it right there. Don't ask if you don't want the truth. And look, you can roll through the comments on Le'Veon Bell. Like, ignore Le'Veon Bell's Twitter, to where he then proceeded to go through and retweet all of the positive things that people had to say about his song. But if you look through the comments, or you look through the replies, it's all talking about trash. And I gotta be honest with you, it's not good. It's not great. The autotune is, it's autotune heavy, super autotune heavy. And the content of it is about him complaining about the Steelers. It's talking about, they didn't want to give me my money. They want to use me, but they don't want to pay me and all this other stuff. It's just like, oh my goodness. Okay, can we move past that? You've signed with the Jets now, and if you're going to be a part of the New York media, you got to take some criticism. And if it's coming from your peers and you can't handle it, then man, look, all I'm saying is that New York media is not easy. And they ain't polite, and they have no reason to be. It's one of the hardest media markets to thrive in, and you gotta be gritty. So, Le'Veon, I hope he's ready for that New York media if this is the way that he's taking criticism. So that's it. But definitely 100% though, like, on the real, if you listen to it and you thought it was fire or trash, like, I'd love to hear what you have to say, but I definitely did not. I was not about it. Was not about it. And finally today, off-season workout dates have been announced for all 32 NFL teams for New Orleans. This is everything that's going on. So first day of the off-season workouts begins on April 22nd, just couple weeks away. OTA off-season workouts are May 21st through the 23rd, 28th through the 30th, and then June 3rd through the 6th. And then mandatory minicamp is from June 11th through the 13th. Now, I don't want to just give you this information. I want to tell you why it's important. So first of all, understand that the first day of those off-season workouts, we're going to start seeing some other things like rookie minis and things like that. So that'll be sort of with those first-time players that are just being drafted. That's when you're going to start to see some of that action and start to see some of those rookies and see how, you know, they start to fit in the game. And then you'll get to start to hear coach evaluations and things like that of how the rookies have been doing as you move into the off-season workouts. That includes some of that rookie minicamp stuff moving into May 21st. And then so we'll start to see a little bit more of the rest of the team becoming available, so the veterans will join, all of that stuff. And then we go into the mandatory mini camps, which gets us prepped and ready heading into training camp, which usually takes place in July. So with that being the case, those are the dates you're going to want to keep in mind, because that's when you're going to start to learn a lot about the new players that are coming into the systems, a lot about the rookies that have been drafted, where they're, you know, where they're fitting in, what the Saints vision is for them, you know, how the chemistry is with the team. That's when you get a lot of the fun offseason videos and things like that. So those are definitely times where you're going to want to make sure that you're locked in and you're locked on here on Locked On Saints, because that's when a lot of new information is going to be coming through with what the Saints are doing with their players. The other thing to keep in mind too, going into in between some of those OTA offseason workouts, between the May 30th ones, June 28th through the 30th, you're going to start to get to some of those post June 1 cuts that are going to be coming down as well. So you're going to hear about some players designated throughout minis and throughout workouts when the teams start to figure out, this really isn't going to jive well. This player's not really working in the system, not really seeing the tools that I needed to see. So we're going to designate them as a June 1 cut. And then you're going to see some late free agents become available. And the Saints like to dig into that market as well and bring in veterans to become a part of, you know, their mini camps and get involved there and then sort of give them some tryouts. It's going to be a good time to start seeing. You're going to hear a lot about this veteran visiting the Saints, that veteran visiting the Saints. That's a lot of when that stuff is going to start going down. So just keep an eye out for that, and then make sure that you're locked on here on the Locked On Saints podcast, where I can keep you up to date with all of that. All right, so that's going to do it for today's episode. Make sure you continue to come back through for the rest of the week as we're keeping it up to date with everything that's going on. The schedule is going to be a little weird this week. Not going to lie, I just have a very busy week ahead of me and everything like that. So I thank you for your patience. I will get you an episode every day, but some of them might come in the late evening like today did as well. So those will be coming to you as we go through. You'll still get 5. Not going to let you down there. So all right, y'all have a blessed one. And like I always say, thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the podcast. And please take some time to rate and review and share all that. It helps a ton. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints at home or in your vehicle. And be sure to subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the new Himalaya podcast app, so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you all for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Hootat Nation, I'll holla at you.